And in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we start our class. Sing hymn 24. Thank God, we are going to study the first book and second book of Timothy. And I'm so nervous to teach you because this morning when I saw the screen, the counselor did not put the first book and second book of Timothy on the screen. So I suppose all of you knew the book of Timothy already. So therefore, I don't have come here to teach you. So we can dismiss the class. Before we start, I think I should give you the homework. But the homework is easy. Don't worry about it. Yeah. Before we start, because this is a Paul wrote a letter to Timothy, so the first thing, we have to change our name to Timothy. Change our first name, not last name, okay, yeah, because you will carry your family name. So change our first name to Timothy, because Paul wrote this letter to Timothy. So if we put Timothy's shoes, if we put ourselves into his shoes, then it's better for us to understand the situation. The book of the First Timothy and Titus have been written while Paul was traveling and ministering between two Rome prisoners. In the Acts chapter 28, recorded Paul was imprisoned in Rome the first time. And the Bible did not record his second imprisonment. We just guess, you know, according to the history data information, then we guess he may be put in a second time of the imprisonment. So the first book and the second book and the Titus has been called pastoral epistles. First book and the second book and Titus has been called pastoral epistles. Let me repeat. First book of Timothy and the second book of Timothy and the Titus. And we also have, which four books have been called prison epistles? Anybody know? Which books? Four books. Four books have been called prison epistles. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, and Philemon, called prison epistles. Okay, let's turn to the Acts chapter 16. Since we have changed our name to Timothy, so we have to understand the background of Timothy. Acts chapter 16. Okay, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Philemon. Yeah, prison epistles. Okay, Acts chapter 16. Verse 1, then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. The first time the Bible mentioned Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed, but his father was Greek. So Timothy's father was Greek. And verse 2, he was well spoken by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. So everybody respect Timothy, because I think his behavior was so good. So even he was so young, maybe around 10 or 12 years old. So at a certain age, and he was well spoken by all the people. Then at verse 3, Paul wanted to have him go on with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region, for they all knew that his father was Greek. So from this passage, we understand Timothy was educated under Greek custom and Greek education. So Timothy did not follow through Jewish law to receive circumcision. And when Paul met Timothy, he was only around 10 years old. So you can imagine, 10 years old boy, what can he do, right? Where were you when you was 10? Play games, email, or just play with your friend, play outside with your friend, play hide and seek with your brothers and sisters, right? Yeah. But Timothy, when he was 10 or 12 years old, his spirit was strong already. That's why draw Paul's attention. When Paul went into his house and talked to his mother, talked to his grandmother, and a 10 years old boy also intervened and also interrupt their conversation and join their conversation and talk very specially. So Paul said, hey, this boy is so special, huh? Only 10 years old, and whatever he's talking, so godly, so spiritually, it's very different. Then Paul invited Timothy to join his missionary. Okay. And when Paul released from his imprisonment, then he continued on his mission, and he left Timothy in Ephesus to handle some church issues. And we can imagine Timothy was only 10 years old or 12 years old. And how can he handle all issues? Even if a 10 years old boy approach you and rebuke you, I say, who are you? Get away from me, right? Stay away. But he was only 10 or 12 years old. Indeed, God gave him authority. So the first Timothy is Paul wrote a letter to encourage Timothy how to handle all the issues in church. Okay, so let's turn to 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. In many letters, when Paul wrote a letter to church, he always mentioned he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. So he always reminded himself who he was. He is an apostle. So we have to understand who we are. Like Paul always reminded himself, who I am. I am an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God. God put him in the office. God put him in the office, not by himself, not by his willing. It's God command you put in this office. So his credentials were unquestionable. because by God's command. And he did not only a commission, but also a commandment, not only from God, also from Jesus Christ. And what did God command him to do after Paul converted to Jesus? Because Paul mentioned here, he said, by the commandment of God. God called Paul to minister him, to serve him. And what kind of job God passed on to Paul? Let's turn to Acts 26. Acts 26, verse 15. After Paul saw the great light shone upon him, and he fell to the ground. And how many questions Paul has for Jesus Christ? How many questions? Two questions, right? The first question, he asked Jesus, "Who are you?" Right? How about the second question? Then Paul said, "What should I do, Lord? What should I do?" So let's read the 15. So I said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting." 16. "But rise and stand on your feet, for I have appeared to you for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness both of the things which you have seen and of the things which I will yet reveal to you." And 17. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles to whom I now send you. 18. Two is action. Okay. So what kind of job I will entrust you? 18. To open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So this is his job. Okay. So God told him, "Rise, get up." Now, did you remember a couple days ago in the morning Bible reading, I saw on the screen Jonah, the book of Jonah, and how God told Jonah, how God gave his commandment to Jonah. You remember? Jonah. Oh, no, this may be a graduate. Yeah. God said, "Rise, right? Go to the city of Nineveh. Rise." So today, in the same way, God gave this commandment to Paul, and then today, same to us. God gave this commandment to us, "Rise and go into this world to preach the gospel for me." And when Paul received this commandment from God, after 10 years later, or after 20 years later, did he forget this commandment? Did Paul forget this commandment or still have it in his mind? Let's continue on 19. Verse 19. "Therefore, King Agrippa, I was not obedient to the heavenly vision." So still keep it in his mind, not forget. Okay. He said, "I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision." And last night, Pastor Liang talked about, "I have a dream." Do you have a dream? I'm sorry, why you laugh? Yeah, maybe you love dream.
You have a dream
all the time. You get a dream. What's your dream? For yourself, right? I have a dream. In the year of 2003, When I joined the full-time minister seminar, and I said the same message. I have a dream. Because I have a dream, that's why God put me here. I have a dream. I have a dream, I want to serve our Lord. But we can see Paul also have a dream. He wanted to serve the Lord. And he never forget his dreams. So I was not disobedient to my dream. So if you make dream for the Lord, not just for yourself, your dream is you want to get a higher education, want to get a good pay, higher position, right? But don't forget it, your dream to serve our Lord. So last night, the message, I have a dream. I have a dream, then God put me here, and you have a dream, then someday God will use you. Okay, so we have a dream, maybe someday you stand here to teach me. Yeah. Okay, then let's go back to Timothy. Chapter 1. Chapter 1. Put your bookmark on Timothy, chapter 1. Okay. Verse 1. An apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Jesus Christ is Paul's hope. Yeah. So when we try to serve our Lord, and many members, when council members assign their job, and they say, oh, no, I cannot, I'm qualified. I'm not qualified to this job. Everybody is so humble. I'm not qualified. But Paul said, Jesus Christ is our hope. Then I continue on verse 12. Verse 12. And I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has enabled me. Who has enabled me? Apostle Paul even was a high educated person. But when he converted to Jesus Christ, he gave up all what he has before. He transformed by Jesus Christ. So if we try to serve our Lord with our own ability, with our own education, with our own knowledge, then God cannot use us. Remember Moses, right? Moses, he learned all the knowledge in Egypt. He tried to rescue his brothers from the bondage of Egypt, the Pharaoh. He tried to use his own way. He has a heart to help his people, Israel people. He has all knowledge. He has influence. He has power. I think many people know Moses at their time. He was so famous people. He came from Paris. So he has power. And he tried to use his own way to deliver his people. But God said, no, not yet. The time has not come yet. You got to wait. So he waited for another 40 years. After 40 years, he said, now I am nothing. Before 40 years ago, he said, I am everything. But right now, he said, I am nothing. Since I am nothing, then who will enable me? God will enable him. So when we try to serve our Lord, just don't worry about your ability. Don't worry about your knowledge. Don't worry about your capability, your background. God will enable, God will strengthen us, God will empower us. we can imagine the widow, you know, a widow support Elijah for 3.5 years. Widow, poor widow. She and her sons are waiting for death because severe famine attacked that region. No food to eat. There was no water to drink. Almost died. But God used poor widow to support Elijah for 3.5 years. So we can make dream, big dream, okay? So next time when church council member assign you some job, like an RE teacher or sermon leader, sermon speaker, hymn leader, just don't say no. Say yes. Who will enable us? Who will empower us? Jesus Christ. Okay. As long as you humble yourself, then God will use you. Like a Paul. Okay. Then I continue on 12, verse 12. Because he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry. Okay, just mention, God will enable us. Okay, let me give you one example. Look, Judges. The book of Judges, chapter 6. Chapter 6, verse 1. Judges. Chapter 6, verse 1. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. 2. And the hands of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, and children of Israel made for themselves the dens, the caves, and the strongholds which are in the mountain. So from those two verses, we know that Midian people attack, every time and try to attack Israel people. And Israel people are so scared, so they hide themselves in the cave and then everywhere they can find. Okay, see? Israel people are so scared, so frightened with Midian people. Okay, then continue on 12. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with him, with you, you mighty man of valor." We just read the message, right? Israel people was so scary, was so frightened, so terrified. Everybody hid themselves into the cave, into the den, hid themselves from the people of Midian. And right now, angel came to one person. Said, "The Lord is with you, you, Gideon, you, mighty man of valor." Everybody, including Gideon, was so frightened. And yet, God said, "You mighty man, mighty man." He was nothing. He was nobody. And God told him, "You mighty man," because God is with him. So today, if you have the heart to serve our Lord, then our God will enable us. Okay. And why God enable us, why God use us? Because he counts us faithful. So Paul has a sense of honor. when we serve our Lord, if we feel so shameful, like today, I stand here. I need the courage to stand here. Otherwise, so frightened, right? Shaken. My feet, my hand are shaken. My voice is shaken too, because I was so frightened. But if God enables us, if we have the sense of honor, if we consider this job is so honorable, this job is very precious. God gave us this job. We have to treasure this job. That Paul has the same attitude. So he considered God counted me faithful. Okay. And how can we define a faithful? In a couple of ways, we can define faithful. We have to be faithful to the truth. Okay, fight for the truth. Yesterday we have Q&A session. Friday we have a Q&A session, and today we have a Q&A session as well. And so many brothers and sisters raise up the questions, and from regarding the doctrine and daily life. And Bible questions, okay, it's good. But however, we have to believe. We have to believe whatever says in Bible. That's most important. Right? We came here to learn the Bible. It's good. Then we have knowledge of the Bible. For 14 days, we learn many books. And we are young. You are young. So you can keep all the verses in your mind. I'm over 50 years old, I just read this sentence and couple second letter, I forgot, So I have to look at your name tag many times. Maybe today I ask, what's your name? Tomorrow I saw you, I forgot your name, what's your name again? Because my age, when you reach to my age, in the same way, everybody will become aging, become older and older. So we come here to learn the word of God. Right? But most important, we have to believe. Okay? God's word, not for debating, not for disputing. No, it's for to believe. Okay? So when we read the Bible, we have to believe. So we have to be faithful to the truth, fight for the truth. If we won't believe what we believe, how can we preach to others? Suppose I'm a salesman of this bell. And I will try to sell to you. And I say, how good is this? How good? I say, I don't know, so-so. Yeah, just so-so, yeah. And when you heard this message, so-so, you say so-so, then why I have to buy from you? Because you say so-so, right? You are a salesperson. You won't trust your product. How can I trust you? You, salesperson, saleswoman, salesman, you won't trust your product. How can I trust you? There's no way, right? So in the same way, when we preach our gospel, we have to trust the gospel first. We have to believe whatever in the Bible. Otherwise, how can you preach? No wonder today we encourage everybody, preach, rise, go out to preach, go into this world to preach the gospel. You see, many years, 20 years, how many members increase? Not many. So most important, we have to believe what we believe. Believe what we preach. Jesus tells us, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. So even if you were baptized in your young age, maybe baby, 3 months old. My daughter was baptized in 3 months old. She didn't know anything. Right? But when she grew up, she got to believe. If at this point, my daughter won't believe, then the baptism is in vain. Okay. So how many of us can be saved? Depends on you believe or not. If you believe, then it's baptized. You already been baptized. But believe otherwise. We stand here, we study here, it's in vain because we cannot be saved. Okay. So believe. So first, be faithful to the truth. Okay. So Paul encouraged Timothy, fight for the truth. We have to fight. Okay. Because today many denominations, they won't believe everything recorded in the Bible. Like foot washing. Yeah. They say, foot washing not so important. Jesus only said once. Jesus only said once. So it didn't count because only once. They won't believe that. Okay. You can search in the internet. Internet. You search from foot washing. Okay. And you try to see how they say about foot washing. I ever search around the internet and then to see how they explain John chapter 13, verse 8. They just skip, They won't talk about this verse. 13:8. Okay. So we have to face forward to the truth. Then we're able to fight for the truth. And be faithful to what God has trusted to us. Okay, let's turn to Matthew. Matthew chapter 25, 14. Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods and goods to them. 15. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. 16. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. 17. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. 18. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. 19. And then a long time the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. 20. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. 21. See how Lord said to them. The Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you rule over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. See? The Lord said to those who gained another 5 talents and 2 talents, say, you were faithful over a few things. Five divided by 5 equals 100%, right? 5 and 5, 100%. 100% is complete. It's complete. It's 100%. It's a lot. Actually, it's a lot. You receive 5 talents and gain another 5 talents, so which means it's 100% perfect. But in the sight of God, God said, Jesus said, you faithful over a few things. You are faithful, but in the sight of God, it's nothing. Right? But your heart, God look into your heart. You are faithful. So from this message, we have to be faithful to whatever God entrusted to us. what God trusted to you now, think about what God entrusted to you at this point. I don't know, right? Many people say, I don't know. I ever met a brother whom is in college. I encouraged him to join the NYTS. I said, how good NYTS? And then I said, would you join us? I don't know. I said, okay, we will buy the ticket for you, so you don't have to pay your own ticket. And he said, I don't know. Can it be saved? I don't know. I said, have you eaten? I don't know. So what God entrusted to us already, God entrusted his word to us, his word. God entrusted the word, his word to Israel people, but Israel people reject God's salvation. So God's word, God's gospel, entrusted to us right now. Okay, gospel. So what's been gospel? Every time we say gospel, gospel, we preach the gospel. Gospel is good news. So what's been good news? I got a grade A. I got a scholarship. I got a good job. It's good news. Yeah. Okay, let's turn to Luke. Luke. Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel, to preach the gospel to the poor. To whom we should preach the gospel to the poor. And what's the gospel? He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Yeah, so what's the gospel? The gospel is to heal the brokenhearted. How many people suffer from brokenhearted? Many. Many suffer from depressed. And proclaim liberty to the captive, recovering the sight of the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Okay, this we call gospel. We preach the gospel to the poor, to whoever need. The poor means bend their back, bend like this way. Yeah. The humble. Yeah. In the ancient time, the Qin dynasty, the officer have bend their back to bow down, and then to bow down to their king. So they never straight up. Their back always like this. So after they retire from their job, they become like this. So everybody like this. After they retire. So you can see very old ancient time, all the Chinese people like this. Because they have say, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, king. The humble, because show humble. Okay, we have talked to our master, Jesus Christ. To the poor, so to those who are in need. Good gospel. Then we have the festival to the Lord, to our Lord. Okay. So this afternoon, we'll continue on verse 12 and verse 5. Okay. For back of verse 5. Yeah. We'll continue afternoon. So let's pray, kneel down to pray together.